Hello and welcome everyone to another edition of the Center Ring, TCR for short, also known as your favorite esports podcast, the esports podcast. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening, or afternoon, or night, or morning, whenever you're listening to this. My name is Tim, also known as Pirate Mushroom, the gentleman across the table, my first mate, my rock, my Genji to my Hanzo. It's Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I think I like myself less now that you compared me to Genji.
Hey, man. PTR Hanzo.
I swear, I was watching the Overwatch Open, and I got triggered when I heard Genji ults going off, like PTSD.
Give it time, and then you'll hate Hanzo. Give it 2 weeks, and you'll wish Genji was back after that Hanzo in the PTR. Anyways, this is episode 40 for real this time.
You did spend all of last episode saying it was episode 40.
In my defense,
I think I also said it was episode 40.
I asked you.
You did.
Before we started recording what episode this was, and you said very defiantly, it's episode 40. So I'm putting the blame on you on that one.
That's fair. I'll take it. Yep.
But we do have an awesome show for you today. Today is August 29th of the year 2016 at just before 8:50 p.m. We got a lot. We have e-news, a pretty heavy loaded e-news, actually. Probably more discussion in e-news than before. That's a mixture of stories that we normally don't have time to talk to. But this is just a two-subject show today, so we do have a little bit more time to get it more in detail. We will talk about some of the OW Open, the Overwatch Open. Their qualifiers wrapped up this last weekend. And we are going to talk a little bit about that because the tournament is fastly approaching here in just about a month. But I want to start the show off with something I don't have a whole lot of chances to bring up, quite frankly. And I need to bring this up because, as I said, it's 8:50 now. Things could change. Things could change at any moment. And that is Cloud9 of CSGO. Their recent performance. If no one has been keeping an eye on Cloud9 recently, they are quickly becoming NA's golden child all over again. Don't give me that look.
In your blue tinted rosy glasses, they are.
Look, I'm Cloud9 sleeveless fan. All right. I don't even own a Cloud9 t-shirt. I own a Cloud9 tank because I know how to rep the team.
Weren't all the people that wore the tank off the team now?
I will take off my glasses for Cloud9, and I can still tell you that they are having a historic month of August. All right. Ever since they dropped Slemmy, which I mean, I said from the get go, this guy is not going to help the team. You can go back and listen. Well, go back and listen to the tape.
You know where that all started. Bay Garris left, and everyone said they needed an IGL. They need an IGL. They pick up Stewie, not an IGL. They finally drop Freakazoid, and then pick up Slemmy. The idea being he would be the IGL.
Well, remember, so Slemmy was picked up April 23rd, so he lasted what? April, May, June, July, August, about 4 months. We'll give him four if you're just going off the calendar. So sure, we'll give him 4 months. And when he was first picked up, everyone was like, ooh, really Slemmy? He just doesn't seem to have the skill to back up being on a team like Cloud9. But Cloud9, and even nothing at the time, was like, oh, guys, don't worry. Because his leadership, it's his in-game strats that we're picking him up for. Not so much his rifling skills or his op, but his IGL. He's going to carry us into CSGO lore with his IGL skills. His IGL skills were so on point that they failed to qualify for ESL 1 Major. So, there you go.
To be fair, I mean, his rating is very similar to Freakazoid. So, I mean, it was kind of a lateral move after it was all said and done.
Yes, but the reason he could not last as long as Freakazoid is because he was the IGL.
Yep.
And when you have the IGL label on you, I mean, it's essentially like putting the C on your chest in hockey, right? Like, more things are expected of you when you are quote unquote the team's leader.
And then you have to feel super bad for him. Because the rumor on the street, he's stepping down to become the coach. And then, bam, Valve drops the ruling. Coaches.
Nope. No, sir.
Coaches cannot communicate during the game. And now you don't really need him anymore.
No, so he's still on the roster, just the inactive roster.
Yep.
So he's still officially part of Cloud9, on contract. Maybe we'll see something come about. Possibly, probably not. They're probably just hoping someone else will want to pick him up. Because like you said, compared to Freakazoid, he was kind of on par, and Freakazoid's on Echo Fox doing just fine. So I'm sure there's a spot somewhere in Slemmy in this Counter-Strike world that we live in, but it's not going to be on Cloud9. Obviously, that's because just a couple weeks ago, on August 17th, they picked up Automatic right before the ESL Pro League started. And since then, Cloud9 has not looked back. I mean, just going full EU on the Counter-Strike landscape. In the month of August, they are currently, when I pulled these numbers earlier today, 14-1, 93% win ratio. I believe they have taken one of their matches tonight against Renegades. So mark that 15-1. And dare I say it, probably going to be 16-1. Now, one thing to take away from that, okay, before, and this is where I can play devil's advocate to Cloud9 here. They haven't played an EU team. So, you know, they haven't played top talent, is what I'm saying. They've played Liquid. They've beat Liquid a handful of times, actually in ESL Pro League and at the finals of the Cyberpower tournament that just wrapped up this weekend. Another one of those little NA tournaments, but they always seem to have Cloud9 and Liquid in there in the finals, and Cloud9 always seems to beat Liquid when it counts for those little tournaments. So they're getting it where it counts. The one loss that they did have, oddly enough, was to Optic Gaming. Also came August 22nd, and that was to qualify for the Star Ladder I-League for the Season 2. So, oddly enough,
you know what,
they failed to qualify for the one season that probably would have been better for them.
What's funny about that is they definitely beat Optic.
Oh, I know.
Just before that. Same day, actually. Beat Optic two times.
That's why I said it's weird that they failed to beat them in the one that they probably really wanted to beat them in.
Yeah.
In the one game to qualify them for another season, aka tournament.
Yep.
So, but we're not looking at that. We're not looking at the importance of the wins. We're looking at the fact that they are 15-1.
Tim is going quantity over quality right now.
You're telling me that you wouldn't want Liquid 15-1?
I mean, I would.
Just saying. They defeated Liquid last weekend.
Yeah, and they're doing this. You know what's funny is you go back to the stream that Nothing had when they first picked up Stewie, right? And he was saying, just give it time. He's young. He needs to develop. This is on this whole section or this whole month of August has been off the back of Stewie. Pretty much hard carrying. Automatics had a couple good games here and there. But Stewie's the one that's been carrying the team as a whole through all of these wins.
Which haven't we learned in the EA or the NA scene that that's really all you need, right? Is a hard carry.
You get one guy that can go ham on the NA scene and you're. But the good part about Stewie is that he's been doing it very consistently over this month.
Stewie could be the simple of NA Counter-Strike. He could be. If he keeps this up, could you see the fan base putting Stewie on a pedestal similar to Simple?
No. Why would I say that? I don't think Stewie is polarizing.
They have their similarities.
Enough.
Okay, so minus they're young, right?
Yeah.
I think people had more confidence in Simple, right? At the start, they had a lot more confidence in Simple when he left Flip Side and went to all his teams there. Stewie definitely had a little bit more rockier climb. I think criticism comes with the territory, especially when you're joining Cloud9 or Liquid. You're going to get criticism just because you are a top NA team and people expect a lot from you. So you're going to get criticism. That's just part of it.
Yeah.
So unjustly, Stewie got some criticism from there. And even from us, I think we gave him...
So you said 6 months.
You're right, because he was picked up, I think, in December of last year or January. I gave him six months, basically, till June. Apparently, he passed their test for my 6 months challenge.
No, so the reason I say you can't really, or nobody will put him on the same pedestal as Simple, is that Simple already had that reputation of being this like completely electrifying player that makes these ridiculous plays with the op, but just had like an attitude issue, which people still say he has that, but he is getting better.
Well,
he's being forced to be better now because he's on more higher profile teams.
Also, the difference with an attitude issue is he's winning.
Yeah.
When you're on a top team, your attitude issue turns into character.
Yeah.
When you're on a bad team, your attitude issue turns into locker room issues.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
So he already had that reputation, right? So he comes in and Stewie's a very good player, but he doesn't make the same kind of super flashy, like knifing Taco in subsequent rounds plays that you get from Simple. So I don't think he'll ever reach that kind of like mythical sort of status that Simple kind of reaches as being that amazing clutch round player. But that's not what you need somebody like Stewie that can be consistently good. If he can keep these performances through the month of August going, that's how you win tournaments, is you have people that are consistently good. Sure, Simple has a flashy play, but you're still going to give Guardian the op before you give it to Simple. Why? Because Guardian is consistently good with those, you know, with that weapon, with those types of plays.
Well, and I guess we'll get to see this come all full circle here, because I think if I looked at Cloud9 schedules correctly, the next time that they will be facing against the top talent of the world, which by default means EU teams, right? I know I want to separate NA from EU because I hate that comparison all the time, but it's just the way the chips fall. That's going to be in DreamHack
Bucharest.
Which, do you know what that is? Do you know the city of Bucharest?
India. I have no idea.
No. That is actually the capital of Romania.
I would have never guessed
that. The only reason I knew that is because I looked it up for the show. And I figured I could stump you with it, if we're being honest with each other.
Americans. So it is the capital of geography.
The capital of Romania, Bucharest. That is where DreamHack is going to be played. That is where Cloud9 will face teams in the likes of Envious, FaZe Clan, Virtus Pro, Gambit Gaming, Dignitas Flipside, and Heroic, which is the newly acquired Team X, which was
the old SK. Yeah.
So that's essentially old SKs.
They're going the Astralis route, I believe.
Is that the default move now? When no one wants to pick you up, you just decide to go player owned?
Well, player owned is at least they have more control over themselves, I guess.
Which isn't that all we need? Is more control. Because what better way than a bunch of kids owning your own organization? But that's for a better different time. So yeah, so that's when Cloud9 is going to be facing kind of the next, what I consider probably more of a challenge than what they've been playing in the ESL.
I'm going to laugh when Gambit knocks them out of the tournament. They're going to
get them out of group.
Cloud9 is going to win their first group match against Envious. No, against Virtus Pro. We'll go all the way to the top against Virtus Pro.
They're
going to look great. They're going to look great, and then they're going to drop to Gambit, and then they're going to drop to Flipside to get knocked out of their group.
Well, the groups haven't been decided yet, so joke's on you. They could be out of that group. They could be in a group with Dignitas and Heroic. And give me Envious. We could probably take Envious. Cloud9 could probably beat Envious on a bad day, meaning Envious is bad day. I don't
not cloud nine.
I'm not that confident in cloud nine. I mean, like I said, they have just been beating up on the ESL Pro League NA side, which, by the way, let me look this up here with the glory power of computers in front of me, because they have been so front side heavy on this ESL Pro League. They have been playing almost every night, and you have teams like SK who haven't even played yet. And I don't understand what they did to scores and schedule. Let's see. No, standings. NA. Yeah, I mean, Cloud9 has played 11 matches. I think it'll be 12 after the one that they're currently in. Then you have Immortals with 12. And then there's SK Gaming. They're the only ones in that league without one. What is this? They're just going to have a heavy...
Well, they're boot camping with Na'Vi right now, aren't they? Are they still
doing that? I guess they're playing tonight. SK is playing tonight. Ooh, against Team Liquid. Get that SK Team Liquid rivalry going up here. Yes, no, they have been.
What rivalry? It's just pure tilt.
It's
ever since Cold Zero like wrecked all of them.
You don't think there's some rivalry between Liquid and SK Gaming? You don't think that holds some type of, like, you don't think Hiko has that marked on his calendar?
So let me put it this way, hockey terms. Do you remember how you said just because everyone wants to beat the Red Wings doesn't make them the Red Wings rival?
This is true.
Like Nashville Predators, right? We're
as
like
someone from Detroit.
We're gonna be
everybody.
We're the Red Wings rivals. We're the Red Wings, and you're like, no, you're not. You just lose every
Let
time.
Let me tell you what. I'm from Detroit, and I don't think about you ever.
That's what I'm talking about. So yes, in Hiko's eyes, it might very well be a rivalry. In SK's eyes, it's pure tilt. It's what kind of strat can we try tonight?
But from a fan perspective, I get excited with that because I want to see that one time Hiko takes him down.
I think that's because you have this sort of irrational dislike for SK.
It is not irrational, my friend. It is not irrational.
But anyway, I think you
that
just like to see them crumble.
41. My rationale behind not liking SK Gaming. The team that just worked so hard as an organization to get where they are today. So hard. I mean, just crawling up there from the top. The Brazilian fan base of SK Gaming has just been waiting for that moment under the sun. So nonetheless, though, Cloud9, NA champions of the world. That's the main first 20 minutes of the podcast. That's just what I wanted to get off my chest is Cloud9 has been having a stellar August, and we just hope that it continues into what do we got coming up? E-League Season 2. We'll see how that goes. Maybe they can actually qualify for the upcoming major. That would probably be a good start for Cloud9. Let's start qualifying for some tournaments. Win when it matters.
Oh, every time I think of qualifying for a major, I think of that guy asking nothing what he was doing at the Dota 2 tournament.
Which we never played the audio for. If I still had it here, I would play it right now because it was just audio gold that the dude from Yahoo Esports, which we'll get to in E-News, by the way, touted themselves as one of the industry's leading esports reporters, asked Cloud9 why he is at a League of Legends tournament during the ESL 1 major. And it's like, well, buddy, they didn't qualify.
Full disclosure, the guy had no idea why. He was just legitimately asking him a question. No idea why.
It's like running into a girl at the grocery store on prom night, and they go, hey, why aren't you, isn't it your high school's prom tonight? Why aren't you there? Like, well, dude, there's a reason she's not there. Let's not bring that up. Come on. It's messed up, man. What's not messed up, though, is I would say this Overwatch Open. Competitive Overwatch is really grasping to me. Can you,
well, it's kind of
you back me up on that, Mr. I can't do two things at once as you read your computer?
I'm looking at Overwatch information, actually. Thank you very much.
I'm just saying.
No, it's a game that's taken over our hours of free time, too.
Well, yeah.
It's the game we get on every evening now and play. I'm still struggling to watch it sometimes because the spectator experience is just so bad.
Okay.
And I know Blizzard's working on it. I know they are.
I will say in the competitive Overwatch subreddit, which is an amazing subreddit, if you want to get into competitive Overwatch, I cannot suggest
it's actually
competitive Overwatch sub anymore.
It is actually has information like videos like how to play, top 500 players telling you what they're what's going through their heads when they're playing. It's actually one of the best resources for any competitive game I've seen, and it's all for free.
And it's all very nice. I haven't really seen anyone bashing anyone for saying something stupid. So, or, you know, you could just listen to me. I was not top 500, but pretty close.
I'm surprised you didn't drop the 1% statistic.
I got a Blizzard gave me a spray in game that just says pretty close. Pretty
almost,
close to 500.
Almost there.
Almost. One win away. I was confident I was one win away from top 500. But anyways, it's definitely improving, though. I know a lot of the observers and everything for E-League are commenting on that competitive subreddit, asking for tips from viewers, saying, hey, what heroes would you like to see more being observed?
I will say, I did complain about that for one of the tournaments. I don't think it was the Overwatch Open that I was watching. I think it was the Atlantic Showdown. But it was like, if Genji was alive, you observe Genji. If Genji's not alive, you observe Reinhardt until Genji respawns. And like that's about all that happened.
Right. And I think what some of the fans were asking for, I think the top comment was Symmetra. Like, and basically his reasoning was being is, we don't see those heroes played very often. So when they are being played, it'd be cool to see that perspective and getting some commentating going like, oh, okay, well, this might work for Symmetra, or Mei, how she's being picked a little bit more on like things like King's Row and things like that.
Yeah, and Hanamura, yeah.
Yeah, and Hanamura. I think Temple of Anubis is a legitimate map to use Mei on.
Yeah, she can block off one of the three entry points to the final
spot. Even on the first point. But we'll get into that later. We'll get into our Overwatch theories and tips or whatever the hell you want to call it on a different episode. Because this was the qualifying weekend for the Overwatch Open, which is the E-League tournaments for Overwatch. It's not like an official E-League season or anything. It's just kind of their debut into Overwatch. They are playing it in the Atlanta studios, though. So that's kind of neat, I guess. No word if it's on TV. I don't think it will be on TV. Do you know?
The Overwatch Open?
Yeah.
I have not heard anything about it being on television. Mm.
If only we had a source that could tell us that. But NA went and then EU. So let's kind of break down NA first. All right. And this is why it infuriates me. I'll tell you right off the start. I won't even try to tease this and hang this on to the end, listener. This is why calling it NA versus EU is stupid. First off, Overwatch does not give a F where you're from. They'll put you on that team. Envious is the shining example of that. So Envious in Overwatch is currently the top-ranked team in the world and top-ranked team in NA. That being said, they have one player who is North American. Then they have Taimu, which is from Finland, Coco, which is Sweden, Hulk, which is from Germany, you got Chips from Sweden, and Harry Hook from Spain. The only reason, literally like 3 weeks ago, these bros were considered EU. And then they moved to America and then instantly North American. That's why it's stupid to even try to compare these things as NA versus EU. Just by geography, which I guess how the hell else are you going to do it? I understand that when I said it out loud, it makes no sense. But at the same time, you cannot look at this Envious roster and be like, that's a top North American team. I'm going to rep the red, white, and blue for them. That makes no sense. Nonetheless, though, they did qualify. Pretty unscathed. Actually,
I'm fine with it being. You know what? I would rather Envious is in a organization, right?
Yes.
I would rather the location of the team be based off the organization. Why? Because that would get us closer to having localized teams to root for.
Yes, and I don't argue that. I'm not arguing that they shouldn't be called NA. I'm arguing the fact that they can literally just switch like that. And the fact that just everybody in the fan base is going to call them an NA team and skill wise when it's like, I mean, all you did was move, but okay. All right. But then Splice ended up qualifying from that group, the odd group of only three teams, because one team ended up dropping out right at the last minute, and Face It and E-League decided, F it, we don't have time, we're going to rock three-man group. And so Selfless was the only organization that didn't make it out of that group. So no one...
You were the first and the only loser.
Right. Yeah, no one to join you in your sorrows. I'm sorry, Selfless. Group B... You had Cloud9, 2-0, no big deal. Then you had SodiPop. They also qualified. Huckleberry did not qualify, which they actually gave SodiPop, I feel like, a run for their money. I actually thought Huckleberry was going to make it out of that group, but they did not. Fan favorite, CLG, they ended up not qualifying. Did you see that? Did you catch up on their name? It's algae? Not CLG. It's C-Algae. Like S-E-A space A-L-G-A-E.
Oh, they just have an... Oh.
Isn't that pretty genius? They actually disbanded right after this tournament.
Is that... I mean, is it supposed to be a joke about CLG?
Yes.
Same team?
No, it's not the same team.
Why did they call it C-Algae?
How is this one going over your head?
I just don't get why you would make a parody name.
I'm sorry, listeners, that Brandon is not applauding this amazing name. Why are you poo-pooing their name? That's genius.
I just don't get it. Why would you make it? Why would you make it as close to CLG?
Before this tournament, Rise Nation was Gecko Fox. And then I don't know which team in this bunch was, but there was another team called We United.
Instead of reunited.
That's like the spoof for these.
So I guess the Overwatch teams are having fun.
That's the bit in Overwatch, is all these amateur teams that aren't picked up. Because face it, Counter-Strike, you're going to get picked up pretty fast, right? Before you're even known, I should say. Like, you're not going to get one of these amateur tournaments in Counter-Strike and people pay attention to you.
Right.
Well, in Overwatch, though, it's still, you still have those. Because this is, keep in mind, the Open literally started as an Open. Like, we could have signed up for this tournament if we wanted to. But, you know, we have lives, nerds.
And less than six total friends.
This is true. It helps when you have friends.
To play Overwatch.
No, there was these teams, they kind of make their names a bit and then they move on.
Okay, I didn't realize there was a theme across Overwatch. Yes, I thought these were the sole team that decided to make a parody name.
There's a theme where they just kind of make a parody name of an actual organization.
For what it's worth, Gecko Fox is definitely my favorite.
More than theology. That's an upset. Group C, you had Fnatic and Team Liquid. Colorado Clutch. That was another organization, though, that was used to be known as just Clutch. And then they were picked up by an organization, and they renamed them Colorado Clutch.
Just sidebar for Colorado Clutch. Hamsword said that he has now been benched, and he doesn't know why, and nobody will tell him.
Uh-oh.
That's pretty entertaining.
The ninja benching that goes on in esports?
I mean, it's
I'll tell you what's entertaining to me in esports, and it's kind of on the same topic. It's the finding out that you were kicked off the team via Twitter, which happens all the time because no one in esports can keep their mouth shut for longer than 24 hours.
Oh, wait. Actually, he has released a PR statement on esports PR. official PR press release, a hub Twitlonger.
Twitlonger.
Oh.
Listen, I don't want to read your tweets when they're the 142 characters. Don't make it twit longer. That's why we need a Players Tribune. Oh, let's see. Go ahead.
Oh, this is some major drama now.
Oh, man. We have a live development here on TCR. Connor,
this is breaking news.
Breaking news when you hear this a week later.
Apparently, he got in trouble by the team. Because he was criticizing the organization for not paying them, when in actuality the org was trying to pay them but wasn't getting money from sponsors. I don't know.
That's a bold strategy there, Cotton.
So
basically the org was like, look, if you're going to be a dick, how about this? We're just going to bench you and have you not paid at all.
What's going to be awesome is that Overwatch has to go through all of the growing pains all the other games have, but like in the limelight.
Like, here's Riot Gaming, and they're bitching about franchises and owners uniting against other teams and basically bullying out new teams into the LCS. You have Counter-Strike, where there's like three owners who own all the teams, and now you have Overwatch, where they're like, look, can we just have like a buck? Can you just buy us lunch?
I just want to get paid.
Please? Anything? Ah, man, esports. I love you so much. So much. Group D and NA, though, you did have NRG going 2-0. So there you go, Seagull fanboys. That happened.
You know what? The first game with NRG, though, was very close, where people were thinking you were going to see two upsets in that group.
Yeah, and I was just about to say, because that one really, out of both qualifiers, had the only real upset in it, was Complexity being knocked out, going 0-2 in their matches. That was the really only upset, even on, if you combine Europe and North American brackets, that's really going to be your only upset. Because Complexity, for the longest time, was thought of a top-tier team and possibly one of the best NA teams, if you ignore Envious. So, I just don't think it's fair. But anyway, so Complexity ended up not qualifying at all. In fact, Rise Nation, formerly known as Gecko Fox, they ended up qualifying, or not qualifying, but they ended up getting a win.
They went 2-0 against Complexity through their matches.
And then Method was the one to sneak by, and throughout all that chaos ended up qualifying.
Which is funny, is they 2-0'd Complexity as well, and also dropped one to Rise. So like that makes Complexity just look kind of awful.
Yeah. Complexity, former TSM, are not really looking their best right now. And one thing throughout the whole broadcast that ZP and Ask Johnny, is that his name?
Joshy.
Still getting familiar with this Overwatch, just talent across the board. Their points were basically, I don't know their official quotes, so don't quote me on this. But I think they were saying something along the lines of, you're going to have to rely on core talent or something along the lines of this. My point being is I think Overwatch has this unique thing of, if you're a lesser team, you're going to have to try and outsmart the better teams. Like, you're going to try to have to come up with a different strategy or a different comp that this other team just maybe hasn't seen before, and try to take advantage of that.
And you don't really see a whole lot of variation in the comps.
You
right
don't.
Now.
And that's one of my surprising, like, you're starting to see a little more of the three support comp.
Those are coming into play, yeah.
You're starting to see
the most changes you see, though, are usually like what the flex DPS is playing, like if he's a Reaper or a McCree or Tracer or Genji. And they kind of trade based on how hard they're getting countered. But yeah, you don't really see, I mean, with the one hero limit and the fact that there's only a certain amount of heroes and there's very staunch picks in certain groups, like your tanks, you're pretty much always going to have a Zarya, and you're pretty much always going to have a Lucio, and you're pretty much always going to have a Zenyatta until he gets nerfed. Although we did see a lot of Ana picks during this tournament used. And you know what? I think Ana kind of hits that exact spot that Blizzard wanted, where Ana was being used for specific situations and then being changed back out for Zenyatta.
Right.
Because of her nano boost ultimate,
it helps teams get through kind of choke points.
And that was actually one of the things, I believe it was Rise Nation against Complexity, that was using Ana on the first payload checkpoint on Dorado, using Ana to push through that bridge choke point and move the payload up, and then switching to Zenyatta and going back to the normal strat.
And I think that's what those lower quote unquote tier teams, the more amateur teams, are going to have to do. Like, you always hear about this EU strategy versus NA, and EU is always kind of ahead of the curve. The only reason they're ahead of the curve is because what they test out works. Like, yeah. Let's not act like it's some crazy thing that they're doing over there. They're just, what they're doing is working. And it, for whatever reason, seems like NA teams, who are made up of all Europeans, are not trying, like, they're not trying to fix what isn't broke. And that's something, though, that these European or these amateur teams, I think, are going to have to try and do. And even if it's like you said, like, hey, let's use Anna for this first point. Let's get in there. Okay. And then on the second point, just go at them with a completely different look.
Yeah.
Like, if you hit that first point hard and fast, you're going to have, what, 5 to 6 minutes on a good first point push. I'm thinking like Temple of Anubis. If you have 5 to 6 minutes to push that second point, you can go at them with completely different looks, make them switch to counter what you just used on the first point, switch and hit them with something completely different. Like, try to get them with that element of surprise with a different type of roster. But that's just what I was noticing there, and I felt like some of the more analysts or casters of Overwatch, I felt like they weren't thinking the same page as me, and so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You could tweet the show at The Center Ring on how wrong or right I am. Before we get to the EU side, I did just want to break in here. Cloud9 did just defeat Renegades in CSGO ESL Pro League in overtime, 19-16. So that means they are 16-1 for the month of August. Now moving on to the EU side of this Overwatch Open qualifier. This side was actually quite boring when it comes to upsets or any type of storyline, because it went pretty much as planned. You had Misfits, Annex, FaZe Clan, Rogues, the former Atlantic Showdown winners, Reunited, NiP, Luminosity, and Team Dignitas all qualifying. Pretty uneventful there. You did have Team Dignitas and OW Kings. That was one where, so OW Kings, they were, I felt like, had some pretty good momentum in the Dignitas match, but then, as anyone who has played Overwatch knows, it's a fickle beast, and it can just go so wrong so fast. And that's what happened to Overwatch Kings to me. But other than that, I mean, did you have anything to take away from the EU side?
I actually didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot of the EU. I think the game that I enjoyed watching the most was the FaZe Rogue game that went the full three.
You did comment on the Discord on that one. I forgot to even bring that up. That was the only real quote-unquote upset, if you want to call it one. I mean, Rogue still qualified.
Yeah, FaZe just ended up going 2-0. They beat T-Rocks 2-0 and then took the match against Rogue to go up and qualify for the Overwatch Open on the EU side, which is kind of, FaZe is not necessarily a bottom team by any means. They're kind of a mid-range team, but have showed kind of a little bit of adaptability. The casters were talking about Rogue. Rogue has a tendency to be very prepared for like the typical meta, but when you throw things at them, that's a little different. They seem to struggle a little bit in adapting to it, and I think, you know, FaZe kind of just managed to snowball them a couple times, to kind of take the lead on that one. But that was the only upset that really happened throughout the entire time.
FaZe is another one of those teams. Three Americans. Gosu Gamer considers them American on the EU side of the OW Open. Riddle me that, Batman.
Wait, isn't FaZe a US org too? Because I thought they were big in Call of Duty.
They are.
So why are they on the EU side?
Because it's stupid.
Do they get to just pick? That's why.
I don't know. I don't know where Overwatch is coming up with this. It's just Overwatch has its own rules when it comes to how to break up a bracket. This is why it's stupid that this is my only beef, that it's NA versus EU in the end. Because the teams are so melted together, which I love, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I think teams should be melted together for the reason that you were saying. The same reason why hockey teams are melted together, or NBA teams, or football teams. because you go out to get the best that you can get. So that's why I have no issues with, you know, NA playing with EU players. I have an issue when we have to put a label on things and make esports NA versus EU rather than just team versus team and let people be fans of the team. Because I love FaZe. You know this. I almost bought a FaZe jersey and I regret not getting one.
Those are pretty sick jerseys too.
They are dope looking.
Yeah.
I will definitely get one at the next event we go to. But that's my my beef with it.
It's a US organization. Over half of the roster is US. I don't know why they're based in an EU bracket. If you do know, let us know. Why are they doing this? Who picked these? Are you responsible?
Come forward. Tell us now. I don't know. It's stupid. I'm going to enjoy the hell out of the games no matter what because I don't look at esports with this EU versus NA bullshit. I just look at it as a good team versus good team.
Cloud9 versus the world. On.
Cloud9 versus everyone. That's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. I think, let's see here. So if we're looking, because the way they're doing it, if you haven't noticed from our discussion, is that the finals in Atlanta are going to be NA versus EU. So you have the top NA bracket going against each other. That's going to be September 25th through the 26th. And then EU is playing each other the 28th through the 29th. So that's a month. I don't know what they're doing in between, but...
I might have an idea, but we'll see if I'm right or not. We'll bring it up in the e-news.
A tease?
A little bit. Just a little tease for the e-news.
All right. Let's get this going then. What is this?
You want to jump right into e-news?
Yeah, let's jump in it. You can't bring that tease up and then just.
All right. So the teams for the Overwatch World Cup have been announced.
Oh boy.
I'm just going to say Team USA because, quite frankly, there's like millions of countries on this list with teams. Team USA is going to be Seagull, who's the captain. He received 57% of the votes. Of course, he's like, you ever want to come on the show, Seagull?
Hit it up.
I sent you a DM.
He got all up in your DMs.
Stir, Tailspin, Adam Gods, and Messer is going to round out Team USA. So the interesting thing about these teams... And we kind of talked about this when the voting process started. It's fan voted. The people in the regions aren't necessarily the best players in the region.
Like any other stupid all-star game.
So I'm just going to throw this out here because this is I immediately looked for her name. Yes, I said her. I immediately looked for her name in Team Mexico because she was linked in the original discussion about who should have been able to qualify for this tournament. Her name is Lek Kim?
How we spell this? I'm going to look her up for research.
LECPKIM on Twitter. I believe that's her Twitter handle too. All right. She received 45% of the vote for Team Mexico. 45% of the vote. The only person that received more was the captain at 54%. She is a competitive rank 43. Competitive ranked 43.
All right. So I'm looking at her on Google. I mean,
it's Team Mexico. So I don't know if it has the highest percentage of players. I don't know what the player base in Mexico is like. A competitive ranked 43 was voted onto this team for the World Cup of Overwatch.
She doesn't necessarily do anything for me. I could see where a group of fanboys and public voting would vote. Her in doesn't do it for me.
There's another player on the same team named Epsilon, Epsylon, competitive ranked 45, actual levels only 79. So this is a person that doesn't even play the game all that much.
Look, all I'm gonna say, man or female, if you're gonna be in the rank 40s, I want you to be smoking. I'm talking no less than a 9 out of 10 scale if you're going to be a rank 49, all right? Because this rank 68 solo queued a lot to earn that rank 68. And I would just appreciate some, like, so what you're telling me is that we are better competitions for this World Cup than they are.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And and
that's offensive. And quite frankly, I'm better looking than Lepkin. So
I'm like I said, don't want to shine the light on her specifically because it's all throughout these countries.
Well, you know,
you have
what?
Like United States.
It's her own fault.
You have United States, Canada, Sweden, you know, the big esports countries that you hear of all the time that have the actual top competitive talent playing for it. And then you have these
streamers.
Then
America was like, let's vote for the hots.
Yeah, like, and then you have the streamers that got that were listed and invited to participate because they're popular streamers by Blizzard.
This is why fan voting is stupid.
It's ridiculous.
So this, what? Now they're
anybody
going,
that has
Blizzard,
a competitive
Blizzard is going to pimp out this tournament to holy hell to try to make it look like a big deal, which it's not. I will probably watch 5 minutes of this and then
I mean, can you just imagine Seagull on Genji running through Team Mexico? Like, he could play by himself and probably beat this team.
Yeah. A bunch of rank 40s? Definitely.
Like, their highest rank is like 70, 72 or something. And then you got a 50, a 45.
I swear to God, if I see any of those guys, if Lepkin goes Torb, I'm uninstalling the game. I'm going to give up on Overwatch if any of these rank 40s pick a Torb.
Well, hold on. Her most played hero, according to this, is Zarya, Roadhog, and Tracer. So apparently she's a tank.
Okay.
It's going to be even more entertaining to
but
watch
that's
her
most
like
played when you're rank 40.
That's true.
Like, don't even come at me. If you're rank 40, I don't want to sound like a douche right now. Don't come at me with your pro tips. Just don't. We play a different game. Not saying that your strategy isn't going to work, but your strategy is going to work for rank 40.
Oh my goodness. She's only played like an hour of Zarya and less than an hour of Roadhog in competitive.
I give up on you, world. Everyone should be ashamed of themselves who voted for this.
54 hours on Roadhog in non-competitive, in quick play.
I give up. I work hard to try to be noticed in this world. But this, I would
say...
So
I'm saying is Overwatch show...
Six is open, getting more attention.
I'm going to open E! News with saying the Overwatch World Cup is a complete waste of time, Blizzard. Good job.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a clutch or kick next week and that will be on it. Even though I have a feeling that we are pretty dead even with that one. One thing here that's a little interesting for E! News is HTC hints at canceling their LCS sponsorships as Riot and LCS owners' dispute continues. Mainly, this is all stemming down to same old, but it's just Riot and the owners are kind of butting heads, or they're butting heads with the community. Essentially, the where it comes down, though, is where HTC is getting involved. So HTC obviously is creators of the Vive, the VR system. And they are like, okay, well, we're going to try to get players in our advertisement and doing all this. Well, in the commercial, HTC would have League of Legends players playing Counter-Strike. And that was the big no-no for Riot is, hey, don't have our players play other games. Like, don't show them enjoying something other than League of Legends. We need to create this persona that all they do is play League of Legends. Heaven forbid if in a commercial they're playing Counter-Strike. And vice versa, though. They had, you know, Counter-Strike pros playing other games. It was HTC's point was that it was purely just for the sake of advertising. Like, they weren't advertising Counter-Strike, numbnuts. They were advertising the Vive and, like, the spectating capabilities and all that of it. Well, League of Legends, or Riot, I should say, stepped in and made them pull the video off of YouTube. HTC came out and basically said it's becoming difficult to justify our investments into the scene. AKA, like, we're giving you money. Let's not bite the hand that feeds you. And then also they came on and said, sponsors are now very limited in what we can do to market our brand and products while still supporting the League of Legends scene. Which I are pretty strong words. Like, it's becoming difficult to justify our investments. Like, that's probably not something you want one of your top sponsors saying.
So we've talked a lot in the past about how much having control over a league is good or bad for that league. Do you think Riot is starting to overstep their boundaries with the controls?
Yes. And I'm going to say yes. And I think historically, I have been kind of pro-Riot.
Like, don't I have too.
Like, I don't follow League of Legends. You don't follow League of Legends. Anyone who has ever listened to this show has known this might be the fourth time we've ever brought it up. But every time we bring it up, it's always based off of some controversial thing that Riot has done. And for the most part, I've always been on their sides of like, well, you're the owner of your product and you can say what you want to say. If you don't want gambling or pornography being part of your sponsors, that's totally up to you. I can totally see where you're coming in on this. This, to me, though, is overstepping the boundary. I mean, what do you think?
I think I agree that it's, I think it's overstepping because this seems like such a like little thing to get upset about.
I bet you, I did not watch the advertisement. I bet you it is less than 45 seconds of these league pros playing Counter-Strike, and I bet you it is so, like, what, so I guess what Riot is inferring is that you're going to make people want to play Counter-Strike over League of Legends from this, and you need to pull it. Like, anyone's going to watch this HTC Vive commercial and be like, damn, I know I've been playing League of Legends all my life, but this Counter-Strike game in this 20-second clip looks dope. And I need to get this now and completely ditch League of Legends. Like, to me, this is definitely sticking your nose where it doesn't belong.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
I mean, even as far as an organization, like, how, like, way to make that awkward, Riot. Like, hey, I know you have this sponsor that is totally not a gambling or pornography, but no, we can't do this either.
Yeah, Riot's notoriously tried to control the entire League of Legends ecosystem. And as far as I'm concerned with tournaments, and teams, sponsors, I'm cool with it. I think this is...
it's a bit much.
To pull an advertisement because it shows a guy playing a different game is just absurd.
You have to choose your battles, and Riot is apparently choosing the battle on all fronts.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you have owners and franchise issues going on. You have a constant struggle with Richard Lewis just completely destroying your community. Then you have the sponsorship issues, and now this, where you're sticking your nose in straight up fighting the sponsors. Like, that's not good. It's not good at all. It's going to make other sponsors not want to do business with you. If you're going to give the sponsors rules, let me tell you what, the people with money don't like being told the rules. So we'll see where that goes. If HTC will stick around for the LCS, which will ultimately mean Riot is going to have to bend their knee on this rule. Riot is going to have to bend the knee to their sponsors, which, when was the last time you saw Riot Gaming submit to anyone? Never.
Yeah, we'll see though. HTC hasn't pulled out yet. We'll see if they do or not. It might just be threats.
Yes.
Who knows?
Yeah. And anyway, so another big thing happened in esports this week, and you have a little bit more on that than I do.
GGA, Good Game Agency, started by Alex Garfield, which was the backbone for teams EG and Alliance.
Hold up. Did you just say a guy was a backbone for two teams? What the hell? Dude?
The company was.
What is going on? What sneaky?
Oh, yeah. Oh, so this
garbage
is okay.
Were they trying to pull on us?
For those who aren't aware, because we're having two games references crossing right now. The streams are crossing.
Reference game on point, bro.
Oh my god. Counter-Strike. There's a gigantic controversy in Counter-Strike about how MTG and Jan Tilgers like owns 80% of European Counter-Strike tournaments, teams, everything.
Even like side companies.
Yeah.
Like, even news companies.
Like agencies, like, and news so websites.
Which, I will say this on the show, and I will give you prop, because I told you yesterday I'm going to give you props on the show, and I will. Because everyone knows, 56 minutes into the show during E! News is the prime time to give shout-outs. You did say very long ago and a couple times throughout that all of these companies are owned by the same people. Like, you did always say, like, it doesn't matter where this money's going to, because, what was it, ESL owns DreamHack.
Yeah, the same company that owns ESL owns DreamHack. Now they're starting to find out the same CEOs and board members are all sitting on the same boards. And it's like, this isn't new territory. This is no. Every major market in every industry is a rotating chair of the same people at the very, very top. That's
not
how it
saying
works.
It's right.
Yeah, that's just it all is.
Look, I would definitely not want professional sport teams to be owned in the same league by multiple people. That would probably leave a bad taste in my mouth if I learned that the Stars and Red Wings were owned by the same group.
Yeah.
And everything like that. Not saying it's right. Just saying, let's not act surprised by any means that when all these organizations are owned by these same people, and all of a sudden that trickles down to all these little teams and sites and all that. But anyways.
But people get up in arms about it, and there's an infographic floating around Reddit now of all the connections, and most of this started because of Richard Lewis releasing videos on it and digging up information, whatever. Back to the actual story, GGA has folded. All of the leadership is gone. People are very upset. They liked GGA. It was one of the few organizations that put a lot of the players first. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of, or that I could have found anyway. They were fine. There was no real big controversies that went on. GGA was bought by Twitch, which was subsequently owned by Amazon. That was happened in 2014, and now we're in 2016. EG, for the most part, has been completely disbanded. People are saying it's over, whatever. I'm sorry, Alliance. Alliance, people are saying it's over, it's done. EG has not released a statement. There's people still saying there's things going on behind the scenes, so who knows, we might still see an EG team, which was arguably the more popular of the two. But yeah, GGA is gone. Alex Garfield is... a beloved CEO, I guess, in esports. I don't follow Dota 2 all that much. I didn't really hear of him. But he's done. He's done for now.
It does make me sad to hear Alliance is no more, because, like I said, Admiral Bulldog and all those guys, they were the ones who got me into Dota back a couple TIs ago. And to see that, I always felt like they were, to me, a staple in Dota, a staple in, you know, kind of my fandom of the game into the pro scene. So it does suck. I guess there's just not a whole information, though, on why?
No, there's not been any statement. All the news that's actually come out from it has been from people on Twitter talking about how they're done, or the company is folded, or it is no more. There's a bunch of, like, what would you call... when they do it on Facebook, it's called vague booking, where they're like, the time is darkest now, but only darkest when you can see the stars.
Yes.
Like, ridiculous, these hyperbole statements that are just trying to make, you know,
people
waves.
Ask why.
Yeah, make people wonder why.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, I guess we'll check back next week then. Maybe there'll be more to report on. I'm sure the second we post this episode,
there's going to be a PR statement.
There will be a PR statement. There will be a tweet longer. Talking about it the second we post this episode. So just keep an eye on that one. I have a few others here. Mewtwo King had quite a busy weekend. Let me pull up my notes here so I can take a look at Mewtwo King's weekend in the meantime.
A weekend of Smash, or was he like trying...
No, yeah.
Water skiing or...
Oh, yeah, he just... went on vacation, man. He had a pretty big weekend. Hung out. You know,
like, I know you follow him, so I wasn't sure. Just
got some,
like,
laundry done. Hung out.
See, guys, pro players are just like us.
Yeah, they're just like us. No, in Shine 2016, he had quite a big weekend at the Super Smash Brothers tournament this weekend. So big, how big, you ask? He got first place in the Melee singles. First place in Melee doubles with Plup, fifth place in the Smash U singles, and first place in the Smash U doubles. So he got 3 first place finishes and 1 fifth place. That is not a bad weekend. Not a bad weekend at all. Especially,
I mean, what was the money like for that?
I don't think it was anything groundbreaking. I just closed the tab. Oh, no, here it is. No way.
For the listeners at home, he just had a very surprised look, and I don't know if it's a he made no money surprise look or he made a lot of money surprise look.
I mean, about four grand for the singles. He made 2 for that.
So about 10, 15 maybe.
I wouldn't even say that because he only won $241 for fifth place in the Wii U singles and $900 in the doubles. So you split that. So, I mean, he walked away with like what?
5K, a little over 5.
Yeah, a little over 5, 6 just. So yeah, you know.
That's the sad part about the FGC.
It won't.
The tournaments are so good.
He can't
and the players
quit his
are,
day job.
Yeah, and the players are so consistent and they play so often. It sucks to see him struggle.
Well, the thing with FGC, though, is a lot of those tournaments are based off of like the entry fees and stuff because they are more homegrown tournaments.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is still based off of that. I still feel like Nintendo doesn't give it nearly enough love as far as being competitive and trying to help grow that scene.
I mean, you think about Counter-Strike now, where people are throwing million-dollar prize pools on just about everything.
Yeah, well, and even like Rocket League announced that Season 2 is going to be like $250,000 for their prize pool. It's like you have all these other esports are basically, you know, whipping out their measuring sticks for their prize pools to see whose is bigger. And then here you have SGC that are just like, yeah, $500. Whatever.
But you know what's good about that, though, is it's not a bubble, right? So you're not going to get the... You're not going to... If the market collapses...
Hello, listener. Tim K here, a.k.a. P-Shroom. Did you notice how in the last sentence Brandon was saying it cut him off in the middle of his word? Were you like, hey, that sounded kind of weird. I wonder if they meant to do that. Long story short is no. No, we did not mean to cut Brandon and the show off in mid-sentence in E-News. Instead, technology decided to do what technology does best. And that is arm f**k us so far up our ass. Every time. So we're redoing the end of E-News.
We need a dump. We need a mic dump.
We don't have to dump. I hate technology so much. So much. So where were we? You were talking about the FGC. If the...
So it's not a bubble like the old... Like if Counter-Strike... So they're just throwing money at stuff, and the Counter-Strike has a bubble, right? So if it becomes too big and it bursts and no one's making money anymore and like it, the bottom falls out and nobody supports it, the FGC will never have that problem. Because right. The FGC is grassroots. They're not making a ton of money. They're all just doing it because they like doing it.
Their pedestal is not as far off the ground like Counter-Strike or League or anything to where if there is a crash, it's just a little tumble. It's just whatever. The one good thing, too, that is a total original thought from me that I'm just making up right now and I did not say 10 minutes ago in a different recording of the show, is the fact that the prize pools in FGC always are a little lower, but they're also a lot more like fan-grown than half these other things, where when you have things like CSGO, where you see all these little tournaments pop up and they have such... It's like each tournament is trying to make itself more important with a higher prize pool. When ultimately, in the end, Cloud9 versus Liquid is going to be Cloud9 versus Liquid.
Right.
Yeah, the hype might be more real, or they might care more about losing. Like they might feel worse if they lose to a $1 million tournament than say a $5,000.
Yeah.
But in the end, when they're playing, they want to win just the same. So yeah. The product is not changed by the prize pool, and don't get it twisted by any of that.
Yeah, I completely agree. It goes back to the whole pro sports players, how much they're getting paid, and are they doing it for the money or for the competition? The people that reach these levels of competition are usually doing it because they want to win.
I don't think they think of the money during the competition.
Yeah.
They care about the money afterwards when they win or lose. Sure, yeah, you're going to care more when you realize that you're not getting $1 million, the people across the stage are.
Right.
But during the game, like what? Like Shroud is just not going to hit a headshot because he cares less? Like, I don't understand that logic at all. Moving on, though, we have here where esports, Yahoo Esports, that is, and ESL are now teaming up for live streaming and content partnership. The very vague content partnership. Basically, as a part of the agreement, Yahoo Esports and ESL will work together, including at ESL major events like ESL 1, IEM Global Competitive Series, that Yahoo Esports will live stream ESL-produced tournaments. That's one good thing. They don't... If only they could hear how bad I was struggling with the word produced. Tournaments in HD quality throughout the world and promote content globally to esports fans across Yahoo properties.
So I didn't think about this earlier when we tried this the first time. ESL also has a content partnership with, I think it was Azubu, that other streaming site.
And I believe,
and it was,
did that not shut down?
Did it? I don't know, but I remember the original content partnership is they were going to stream like the Germany events and also stream the other events, but it wasn't exclusive. Like, they could still stream on Twitch, which kind of makes you wonder why there's even a need for a content partnership.
So we were discussing earlier, too, though, what does this mean for Twitch? Like, this is all very vague. It says integrated sponsoring opportunities within both esports and new tournament offerings. Very super vague statement by Yahoo and ESL. I don't know if Yahoo is trying to get exclusive rights to ESL tournaments. Because you got to remember, ESL, that's a lot. That's not just Counter-Strike.
Yeah, I just can't see ESL being dumb enough to
sign something.
Like you said, pull an MLG, basically, and try and sign something that's going to limit their audience.
Right, because MLG tried doing it. MLG.TV, they tried doing their own streaming service for a while there. I remember when we first started the show, that's all. We spent an entire segment on how bad MLG's website was.
Yeah, it's and still how awful, bad by the way.
I believe the website's still awful, but at least we don't have to go there to watch their tournaments anymore.
Right.
And so you have all of this mess going on where MLG basically finally folded and submitted to broadcasting their tournaments on Twitch. And guess what happened?
People
their
watched
viewerships
it.
Went through the roof because Twitch not only has the dedicated fan base of the internet when it comes to watching games in general and esports, it also gets the drive-by traffic where when they see a tournament with 800,000 viewers, do you think people are not going to click on that and see what's up? You're going to get people who want to be interested who might not care otherwise because people are sheeple. Bottom line is people are going to pay attention to something a million other people are paying attention to. They're at least going to stop by and see what's up.
I agree. This could be dumb if they try to go exclusive.
If it turns into a exclusive thing, I said earlier, who even goes to Yahoo anymore, let alone an esports crowd? Like, do you know anyone around our age that goes to Yahoo at all?
No.
Other than, like you said, to see cringeworthy interviews.
Funny stories. There was a girl that actually asked me to change. She downloaded Firefox or something, and the default search engine was Yahoo. She's like, can you please change this to Google?
Yes, no one uses Yahoo or Ymail or Yahoo Mail, whatever they call it now. I'll tell you what Yahoo's good for. Interviews that ask C9 nothing on why he's at a league tournament, not the CSGO major.
With a complete misunderstanding of like what it actually meant that he was asking. No idea.
No idea. He honestly was just wondering, why are you here and not elsewhere? Unreal. Awesome stuff, though. I mean, you know, we make fun of the guy, but it look at all the hours of entertainment it provided us. It basically created a meme in himself on, why are you here?
Why,
what are you
doing here instead of across the globe at the major tournament?
Oh, Yahoo Esports. What will happen? I don't know. Well, I guess we'll have to see, because you were saying, what, it was about a year-ish ago that you saw job postings for...
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Yahoo is looking for live video broadcasting engineers, people that could create the actual streaming service. So they're trying to get into streaming similar to Twitch. And this is obviously going to be the fruits of that labor. They're going to be streaming ESL tournaments now. Hopefully, not exclusively.
We can all hope, because it's... It'd be hard-pressed to get me to go to Yahoo.com.
I just don't want to see Counter-Strike suffer because ESL is greedy.
Right, and that will... I could see the viewership taking somewhat of a dip because it's on Yahoo.com where no one will see it.
No one.
You won't have advertisement on Twitch for it. Nothing. Twitch will not advertise Yahoo streaming service. Not going to happen. So you're going to see a dip if Yahoo decides to do that. And I think it's hurting everyone. It's hurting CSGO, hurting Yahoo, hurting ESL. But it won't hurt us, because we will be here next week. We will be here the week afterwards. We will fight on. Through technical difficulties and all, we will return to you, the listener. Because that's how much we care. We were going to walk out, and I was like, no. These people need this last story again. The first time around, I made a funny joke about how... well, we'll get to that joke in a second.
You're gonna rehash it
because it was awesome, and no one got to hear it. Anyways, you can always check us out on Twitter at The Center Ring. Let us know how we did. We love doing the show for you, and we love hearing from you. You can find me on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. You can also follow Brandon
at Brand Any New.
You can also check us out on our website. It will have all the latest audio podcasts. It will also give you every way you can hear us, such as iTunes, Stitcher.
There's a link to a non-existent
terrible
Twitch
app, by the way.
Channel.
It's existing. It's just we don't do anything on Twitch yet, but we will. We will. Episode 50, I think, is our goal for that. What else? Outdated YouTube videos. You can...
I think we're four episodes behind.
If you're
now.
Really interested in watching or listening to our episodes on YouTube from four episodes ago, go for it. I don't know. We're slow on that. I'm sorry. Sorry. It will help when we're on Twitch, I promise. You can also email the show. That goes directly to Brandon's inbox. I don't look at them, but he will surely look at them and respond and forward me what is important. To rehash a joke, you can send him dick pics. I promise this was way more funnier when it was organic.
It's still pretty funny, but yeah, not quite.
Definitely send him dick pics. My one request is if you send Brandon dick pics on tcr.gg through the website, if you're going to do that, I want to see a follow on Twitter, and I want to see a retweet or a share. All right? For every dick you send us, I want at least 3 more listens from other people. That's the rule. All right? Dick, I want 3 listens. If you include the shaft and the balls, I want 5. So let's get this. Dick's out for TCR.
Oh, wow. I'm so down for that hashtag. I love that hashtag.
Hashtag dick's out for TCR. Let's do this, everyone. Anyways, episode 40 in the books. Again, I hope you really enjoyed it, because I know we sure did. We will be back next week to talk about whatever the hell happened in between now and then. Until then... Dicks out for TCR.